It's The Job Pod with your host, Elijah Drown, a career advice podcast for you. Search The Job Pod wherever you love to listen to podcasts.
I'm here with a couple of great writers. We'll explain who they are in just a moment, but we're going to have a conversation about three important topics that are important to them and important to hear about. And then at the end, it'll be pure chaos. Tasha, Sajal, you'll give each other an interview job title. I'll then throw out three useless skills for each both of you. And you'll have 2 minutes to prove to me that you're the best person for the fake job, and we'll see how it goes. Could be great. You could make up stories. We'll all laugh together, but it's good to see how people react in uncomfortable situations. Tasha, could you start with what you do for a living?
I write for a living, and I'm a freelance writer, and I just write for small businesses, like whether it's for education. Like I write different topics, like for education clients since I have a background in education, or I don't know, like one of my clients right now is like a wedding blog. So I like to keep it diverse. I also am a digital nomad, so I travel the world, and I was living in South Korea, and now I'm living in Thailand. So yeah, just traveling and writing from my laptop. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Awesome. I saw the food while you were working. I couldn't do that. The food's too delicious. I have to clear the laptop, throw it on the floor, and just go to town. So good for you for having the willpower and taking in experiences. It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Honestly, it was not challenging. Like I ate slowly and I focused on my work. Like I don't understand how I did it either.
But, just happened. Yeah. Awesome. Sajal, what do you do for a living?
So I am a freelance copywriter, and I write for small businesses. And I actually was a content writer. Then I ventured into copywriting last year. So I love writing about everything. I mean, I love writing, so I can write about anything, but I cannot write about technical stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just, I think my mind goes blank when I try to introduce myself.
Where are you living now?
I'm living in Karachi, Pakistan, and I work remotely, and I'm also a mom writer. Actually, I'm a mom of a three-year-old toddler. So, yeah, I juggle my work and my mom duties. So, yeah.
A lot going on. What's your favorite topic to write about? Is it the funny stuff, or do you like the serious stuff, or do you just like it all?
I actually can write about both. I can write about funny stuff because I think people on LinkedIn know that I am kind of, you know, I love writing about humor stuff, and I can write about deep stuff as well. So anything like serious topics or funny topics, I can, you know, I love writing about both things. So I cannot choose one. So yeah, I love writing about serious stuff.
Tasha and Sajal, maybe I can get into an important question, start off the discussions. I'd like to understand from either of you if you find that people don't take you seriously as a woman and a writer in a professional space, or is that something that is not true at all?
As a writer, I think I am taken seriously, and my clients are very nice, and they take me seriously. I honestly found that working in other businesses, I wasn't respected as much. Like I remember my last job, like the guy who got the job after me, like the guy who was training to replace me, he was like treated with so much more respect. And like, I don't know, it was just, I don't even want to think about it, but yeah. So I honestly find that, yeah, as a writer, I am respected as a female writer, but in other like physical positions and offices and stuff, I was not respected as much.
If you had the chance to experience the differences of how you're perceived as a writer in Thailand versus in Canada and in America, or are you still trying to get comfortable and settled and get to know people?
Since I'm freelancing online, I haven't reached out to any companies here or anything like that. Like my business is international. I accept clients from anywhere in the world. So I'm not like focusing specifically on Thailand or Canada. Just wherever it comes is what I'm like. Yeah, no specific target country or anything like that.
It's great to hear. Sajal, do you have any situations where you found that women aren't really respected as writers, or does everybody love you and think you're hilarious? I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Okay, I like my current clients are pretty much happy with me and they respect me. But if I talk about like when I started freelancing, I like faced a few incidents. Like there were a few incidents that where I faced discrimination. I remember when I applied, there was this freelancing gig by a writing agency, and I was in touch with their manager, and oh my God, his attitude was so demeaning. I mean, he once literally told me that I can't give you complex topics like tech, gaming, and sports. And I was like, why? I can handle sports. I am a cricket lover. I love cricket. I can write about it, and I can write about other stuff as well. And he literally told me, you know what? You are a woman, so you can't write about these topics. I felt so bad. I mean, I literally felt so bad, and I was like, okay. I mean, it's like having a Y chromosome doesn't mean that we can't code or write about technical stuff or like sports stuff or gaming stuff. I mean, we can pretty much write about everything. I mean, Google is your best friend. You can like research about anything, any topic, anything. It's not. I mean, if I talk about my current clients, they are pretty much happy and they pretty much respect me, my work. So I see that there are some people who don't like respect that women can be, you know, women can write good, women can be good writers, and
I
but
don't
there
know.
are
Doesn't
some
make sense
people
to me
who
either.
love your work and
Yeah.
they pretty much respect your work.
I'm glad that most clients will be kind to you, but
It
it's
was I.
heartbreaking that some people just do that, right?
Yeah, they are. It was very horrible for me because, yeah, I was a newbie back then and I couldn't say no to him because, you know, it was my actually first freelancing gig. So I was pretty much very stupid enough to work for him. And I was like, okay, let's just. Okay, use me as a doormat. Okay, just say whatever you want. I'll just be quiet and do your work. But then one day I decided to quit because I couldn't, you know, tolerate such behavior. So I was like, okay, let's just forget it. I
I'm glad you stood your ground. I
do
know
not want to
sometimes
work
it's
for
hard
him
because you want the
anymore.
paycheck or you need to pay bills. You need to work for somebody sometimes, but you got to give it up sometimes and say, enough's enough. I don't have to take this. So well done.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that's a good way to explain my next question? I'm looking at taking a couple of minutes or seconds out of somebody's day to show them you care. Why do you think that's important?
I think that yeah, it's very important to show some positivity or some care to someone, you know, who's struggling or who is like going through something. Like I have always been on the receiving end. I mean, I have suffered with anxiety for like many years, like for like 3 years. So I even a, you know, a kind word, a gentle pat on my arm would mean so much to me. I mean, it's not that kindness costs you. I mean, you should be kind enough to show that someone, you know, show you care about them. Yeah, I think that kindness should be a built-in feature in human beings. It's really important.
Should. As Tasha has have you experienced in the past where people have actually not cared to the point where you don't want to work for them, or maybe you don't believe in yourself?
Definitely. It hasn't been with my writing career yet, thankfully. But previously, the last school I worked at, it became really hard between me and my boss, and things didn't really work out. And she didn't really respect me, and I called her out on it. And then I don't know, there were just a lot of incidents. And yeah, thinking about it was really sad because at the start of my work relationship with her, she was like a mother to me and everything. And everybody kept saying, like, don't get so close to someone you work with. You're going to regret it. And then at the end, those people were like, we told you so. Because I left, I don't talk to her anymore. And I left, we both left each other with like a bitter taste in our mouth. And I've never left anybody in my life like that. Like I've never, like, whether it's like a boss or like, I don't know, somebody, like it was just, it was really sad. So. Yeah. it was bad. And yeah, it really damaged me for a long time. And I still think about it.
No kidding. And sticks with you forever, which is the worst part, right? No kidding. Sajal, I know you've shared openly and honestly about your anxiety in the past. Is people not caring as much as they should, or you think they should, affected you and your mental health and your anxiety at all?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I don't expect everyone to understand what I'm going through, but a little bit of kindness would not cost you anything. I mean, I have suffered a lot, and I know it's hard to explain someone else that I am, you know, in constant state of just like worry. I worry about such stupid things, and I mean that my worries won't have, like, they don't have any physical relation to my situation. It's like my mind would be like a giant puzzle, I mean, with a lot of missing pieces. And I felt so frustrated every time, but I did not expect everyone to understand me, what I was going through. And but I was lucky enough, I would say, that my family understood me, my husband understood me, what I was going through. And you know, they encouraged me to go for therapy. And yeah, that's how I kept getting better and better. But it's like, I don't blame everyone. Like, I don't blame people around me to, you know, when they react in a certain way, because I was like, because I did not expect them to understand me every time, understand what I was going through. But yeah, it would mean a lot to me that if, you know, if they could show kindness or, you know, just understand what I was going through. And it's really hard to explain anyone around you what your mind was like what your mind is going through. It's pretty much bad up there. It's horrible. So yeah.
When people can't see what you're going through, it's really tough to explain. But for you,
it actually affected my work also. It actually affected my work also, because I was not able to.
Do you find that people treat you differently?
No. I could say yes or no. I mean, it's tough to answer. I mean, because no, people around me did not treat me differently, like in a weird way. But they would, like, my family would, you know, just would think before saying something to me, like, oh, you know, they would, my mom would be like, you know, just don't say anything to her, you know, she would feel, and she would start thinking, she would start overthinking, so it would be difficult for her to manage such situations. But people who did not know anything about me, and most of the people around me did not know what I was going through. I did not tell anyone. It was just my immediate family, that, like, my mom, my father, and my husband knew what I was going through. So I did not expect anyone to treat me differently. So yeah, I was just a normal person.
Do people treat you differently when you speak in English versus Urdu?
No, I wouldn't treat me differently. No.
No, that's good. Sometimes language can be a barrier, right? And I know you've worried about your English skills before. Seem fine to me, but I was just curious if others view the same. If you're talking to clients versus in, you know, Urdu or English, have they perceived you differently? But it sounds like they don't, which is fantastic.
No, they don't. I never face any problem talking to a client, because I used to believe that, you know, they would make fun of me or my English or, you know, my accent. But I realized soon that, you know, they don't care about anything. They just care about their work and how can I help them, and how can I make their work good or stuff like that, but they don't care about your nationality or English or anything. They just care about their work.
Wonderful. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Tasha, you've now experienced living in the West, we'll call it, in the United States and Canada, where sometimes people are kind of in a, you know, a self-contained bubble. They don't have the awareness of what happens around the world. Have you seen, living in Korea and now in Thailand, have you seen that people are treated differently, especially women, in different parts of the world?
Definitely. I think travel has really opened my eyes to a lot of different ways women are treated around the world. And I don't know, I think it's really funny that people in the US think like, you know, the USA is like ahead of women's rights and it's like really forward and all that. But meanwhile, ironically, Americans living in the States that effectively outlaw like something like abortion, like Texas, for example, they have like fewer human rights protections than women in Iran or Saudi Arabia, who have like long been criticized for their records on women's rights and all that. So like sometimes like when people ask me about like how are women treated like in the West compared to like the East part of the world, like it just makes me laugh because like I feel like America's backwards too in a lot of ways. Like
it's crazy.
But I have definitely seen like in other ways women are not treated with the same respect, like in South Korea. Yeah, Thailand is new to me, so I'm not sure, but I don't want to say, but it could be similar to South Korea.
To be continued. We'll have to explore that at another point.
Yeah, definitely.
Find even in South Korea, no issues, like especially being a teacher, right? You have an important job to teach kids a different language. Maybe that's where you're, I don't know, well regarded or celebrated, perhaps. Do you think?
I honestly feel like teachers, foreign teachers in South Korea are not respected very much because like a lot of people like look at them look at teachers, like English teachers, like, oh, you couldn't get a good job in your own country, so you're here, you know, just like in our country, like working and stuff. So like a lot of people have that kind of mentality. Like a lot of teachers like teach in academies, which have like really rich students whose parents are like really high end, like lawyers and judges and CEOs of big companies and stuff like that. And they really like don't respect the teachers and their parents don't either because yeah, they just have a lot of money. So they think like people that don't have that much money are just like the kind of messages we used to get from parents that we used to connect with and all that is just, yeah, they just think they can treat us terribly and it's fine. No respect.
It feels like the disparity in movies between public education and private education almost seems like they're looked down upon, right? So it's too bad.
Definitely. It's definitely true. Like it's not just Korea, it's all over the world, but I feel like in Korea, I don't know, it's just the difference is just a lot like between rich and like not rich. Like it's just like a big thing. It's just a big cultural thing there. Like they care a lot about that kind of stuff, about money, about appearance and all that kind of stuff. So it was just more prevalent there, I think.
You had some writing jobs there, right? With the school? Education somehow? Did that go okay?
Yeah, that went really well. The company I was working for was really good. And I ended up becoming the head teacher. So I was like managing the entire team. And I became like the editor. I became like the main writer and editor. And then all the teachers were also writing textbooks and stuff like that. And then I would edit their textbooks and all that before they got published. So yeah. In my first year, like I was writing textbooks. And then my second year, like I was editing them, like as a senior editor and all that, and helping a lot with the curriculum work and things like that. So my role was a lot more, but it was also like it led to quicker burnout and me leaving Korea. So yeah.
No kidding. Sajal, do you have experiences directly, Sajal, being treated differently as a woman over in Karachi in Pakistan? I don't have the luxury of seeing that or hearing it firsthand, so I'd love to hear what you think.
Actually, women, I mean, as a woman born and raised in Pakistan, I can, you know, confirm the fact that women are treated differently here. And yeah, I mean, some people don't bat an eye at women's independence. Others seem to view it as a, you know, direct threat to their own beliefs and values. I mean, I have, you know, there are some people who don't like women to, you know, go forward in their career, and they just want them to, you know, just get married and settle down and just have a baby and just, you know, work in the kitchen and manage their household duties. But there are some people who are, you know, more accepting towards women empowerment, and they want women to work, but they want women to move forward in the career path. And yeah, I mean, but I can confirm, like, yeah, women are treated differently here. But yeah, like, if some workplaces, women are interviewed and they, you know, they ask them if they are getting married soon or if they're gonna have a baby soon, so that they cannot give them senior positions. Yeah, so because, you know, they have family commitments, and you know, they are mother, they have baby duties. Like, as a freelance writer, as you know, I'm a mom, and I have faced this kind of issues. One of my prospects declined me because, you know, she told me, she was a woman, by the way, she told me, you know, you're a mom, and I think that you won't be able to commit yourself to the work. Like, I don't want to work with you. I mean, she just literally said these words, and I was so, I mean, it is so unfair. I mean, a woman treating woman, like, in this way. One of my prospects was a guy, and he said the same thing. You know, I don't want to work with you because you have family commitments, and my work is kind of tough, so I don't want to work with you. So, yeah. It's kind of hard to, you know, digest this, but yeah, women are treated differently in every way. Like, there are certain examples, like there are certain cases of domestic violence and harassment. But the good thing is that women are fighting against these injustices, and they are coming out, they are speaking up, and there are a lot of people who are accepting this. The movement of women empowerment. And I love that every year on 8th March, women march against these injustices, like in every big city, Karachi, Lahore, Islamabad, Faisalabad, in a lot of cities. And, you know, they fight against harassment, injustices, domestic violence, for equal rights. So things are changing here. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Good. Do you know how many people show up for these rallies, these protests, or these demonstrations each year on March 8th? Is it thousands, or hundreds, 10,000?
Yeah, every year. Not in thousands, like 500 to 600 from every city. And the numbers are increasing every year. And the most important thing is that men come out. It's the most, like, I love the fact that, you know, men realize the importance of women's rights, and they, you know, they realize that women are facing injustices here. So they're also coming out. And I love the fact that, you know, they have this kind of mentality, like, you know, it's just you know, come out for them, or like, empower women to move forward. And the numbers are increasing every year. So 8th March is coming, and I know people are going to come out, and, you know, it's going to happen this year too.
It's good that men are coming out to be allies, to support, to say, hey, other men, you're being silly. This is wrong. So I'm glad that everybody's coming out, especially if you have several hundred per city. That just, it's a big, massive movement. So it'd be exciting to see, I'm sure, be a part of.
Yeah, it's very exciting, and it gives you hope.
Do you know what else is exciting? Maybe our second stage of this session, hoping to put you in an uncomfortable position, Sajal and Tasha, and hopefully you can give each other a fake title, a job to interview for, say why you're the best person for this fake job, try and sell yourself with these three terrible career skills that I'm going to give you that are kind of useless, and we'll see what happens. Give you a couple minutes. You might go through it. You might do well, or you might get stuck, and we might have funny jokes along the way. But either way, I'd love to try with you. Tasha, do you have a fake job for Sajal? Should I give her
one? I have like an inspiration taken from my time living in South Korea. So I was going to give her a live stream eater. So in Korea, we call it mukbang. It's like popular in South Korea, you know, like the live stream eaters that often like consume large quantities of food for hours and eat as loudly and as savory as they can. They would also be required to engage with the online audience. So I was going to give that to her.
Perhaps you have three skills. Sajal loves to look in the mirror. She is very proud of her hairstyle, and she loves dogs. What do you think? Is that something you can work with?
Okay, it's
do you want to try?
Okay, I love to look in the mirror.
It sure is. It's a job that you're going to be great at. So I'll give you 2 minutes, and we'll see where you land.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Why are you perfect to be a live eater?
A live eater, because I would keep looking at myself in the mirror while eating. Or, you know, I'll be comfortable in front of the camera when I'm doing the live thingy and eating and looking myself in the camera. I'll be comfortable, I think. And I love my hairstyle. What should I say? It's weird. Skills are quite irrelevant. Yeah. I love dogs. Okay. I could, you know, take inspiration from my dogs and eat like them. Like, I have seen these videos and, you know, they are.
That was challenging, to say the least, and you did it within 2 minutes. Well done. I've never heard of this profession, so I got to check this out. This is like a people on YouTube or something. They just have eating competitions and just go to town. Is that what this is, Tasha?
It's actually like you can do it with somebody, like a partner or something, but you can also just do it by yourself. So you can like just sit in front of the camera by yourself, turn on the camera. And then, yeah, like go on YouTube and search it. It's like a real big thing. And like, you just like eat like as much as you can. And you make all these like noises and stuff that people like, it's kind of like ASMR. But like, I would hate that. I would hate to listen to people like that. But for some people, it's like great, you know, like listening to people like chew loudly and all that.
You gave a challenge to Sajal, so well done. She had a long way to go from what she does today, but you did well, Sajal. How'd you feel? Do you feel like you'll get a second interview? She didn't want to do that, hey? That's crazy.
No, maybe her internet connection cut out, because like I know in Pakistan, like even like the electricity just goes out randomly sometimes.
And, no, that was, if you have generators, that was actually like, perfect, fine, because she had something crazy and wild.
You just have to like wait for the electricity to come back.
And here we are. She's like, I don't know what to do with this. And she kind of just made it work. And you find that in these situations, it can be a little awkward. And you can hear somebody thinking, oh my God, like I can't, they'll feel going through this process, right? Because you can stumble at an interview. Like I didn't prepare for that question at all. And that's what I'm trying to get.
Okay, sounds good. I'm glad it worked out, because I was gonna like start to like YouTube right then and there, and Google right then and there, and I was like, oh no, I'll just say it.
Yeah, well, it's even better. Well, fake job, as in she won't ever make. Maybe she wants to go explore it now. But Tasha, for you, your turn. Lost Sajal through a power outage, but we'll make it work. We'll keep going on. For you, how about firefighter? That'd be great. Perhaps you like the water. You love swimming in the lake. You love wearing hats and outfits and uniforms. And as well, you have a big smile. Go ahead and see how you can be a firefighter with those. Sell me on it. I'll give you 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'd love to be a firefighter because... I'm very active person. I have lots of energy. I go, you know, I love the water. I love swimming in the lake. And because of that, I have a very muscular built up body that's very equipped for running into buildings and, you know, taking the fires out, taking all the fire out. Yeah. And I also love the firefighter uniform. I just think people look really attractive in all types of uniforms, and a firefighter uniform, I feel like that would be great. Like I have a very tall, I'm a very tall person, and I think that would be great. Like, I have broad shoulders, and I feel like that uniform would look great on me because I really like wearing different kinds of uniforms. So I feel like, yeah, I have everything that a firefighter needs. I have the body build. I have the energy for it because I work out with the water, and I really love wearing different clothes and stuff like that. So. Yeah, and I feel like that I would rock that hat. So
probably look great in a calendar too, like all the firefighters. I mean, that's the perk, right? That's why most people buy those calendars. Yeah. Goodness. Well done. Do you think you'll get a second interview as firefighter from that response?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, that was really hard. I was
so you'd make it work. There you go. Yeah, it's not easy getting these random weird questions that people provide you, right? It's just kind of go with it. But I
love it, and I feel like I'd get better if we did like five more. But when I'm put on the spot like this, I'm just like, oof.
Man, you gave Sajal a run for her money. She did well. She just went for it and did her best. But I've never heard of this job, so I got some research to do, and I'll connect with Sajal later to let her know. What you went for as a firefighter, so we can connect later. But for now, thank you so much for being here, making time. And Thailand, goodness, it's almost midnight when we're recording this, and hopefully we'll get some sleep soon. Tasha, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It was really fun. And you know, if you have a season 3, I'm here for it, you know, and I would love to be a guest again.